This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Joining us right now is the man, Tilman Fertitta. He's the chairman and CEO of Landry's and many other companies. It's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Hey, great to be here.
So tell us about your business. What do you do? You own many, many businesses, but I'll let you tell us all about them.
It's great to be in business, and it really is. Lots of concepts. Do over 150 million customers a year, and it's brands from probably, we touch everybody because we get all the price
points. Many I've been to.
but anything from Mastro's to Bubba Gump, and then in between is a Martin's and a McCormick and a Rainforest and a Saltgrass and a Chart House and
everything.
And they're all company owned. They're all owned by my company. There's no franchisees. There's no licensees except international. And then the five Golden Nugget casinos also. And then lots of brands from the aquarium to amusement parks. And it's a fun business. Lots of employees.
Business
is good. And it's fun.
So I'll say the numbers for you because they were on the sheet. $3.4 billion in sales, $3.5 billion worth of assets, and over 60,000 employees. How the heck do you make all of that happen when some people have been in business as long as you and they're still doing the same thing they always did? And they're still getting the same results. There's something that you're doing that's different. You've got a TV show where you actually help people do this. How do you get to that level? What does it take?
It just kind of happened over a period of time, believe it or not. Yeah. You know, it was great to go public back in 1993. I had 12 restaurants. And God, you know, I was sitting on top of the world. You're sitting there with 12 restaurants. You're making $3 million a year. And gosh, life is good. And then all of a sudden going public with a restaurant company was real popular at the time. So I was public for 18 years. Was you wake up, you know, in August of 93 and you own 12 restaurants. And all of a sudden you look at your stock and you're worth $100 million. So that's the catalyst. And then, you know, I was able to grow it to a $1 billion company as a public company, almost $2 billion. And then when you had the recession in 08 and 09 and all the stocks fell, I took the opportunity to buy it all back myself. Private equity wanted to do it with me, and I maneuvered, financially engineered it where I could take my whole company back private. And that's when I was really able to grow because coming out of a recession, a lot of stocks were down, Martin's, McCormick & Schmick, Bubba Gump, that I was able to do a lot of acquisitions. So
that's what I love and I want to point out right there. People like yourself have the mindset that in a down economy and in a recession, that's where there's more opportunity than ever before, and you capitalized on that.
100%. I mean, I'm a cyclical player, okay? You always want to have your cash ready and wait for the recession because that's when you're able to buy. Everybody looks smart when you have a booming market, okay? Regardless if you're public or private. When you can be smart is when it's a down market and say, hey, I can pick this off or I can pick this off. And that's what me and my team have been really good at, if you want to know the truth. We've had lots of concepts that had organic growth, but if you really look at the value of the company was probably created by being a cyclical player and buying companies when they were down. But we also had the ability to take those companies and fix them up. You know, you go into a Martin Steakhouse today, it's a different menu, it's a different look. You look at a Chart House, great locations, but reconcepted the logo to the look to the menu, everything. Keep it fresh and change.
I love that. Change is inevitable, and you learn how to capitalize on that. I've come up with something that I like to do on the show where if you imagine sitting at a table with, and you maybe even have, an Oprah Winfrey, Warren Buffett, Bill Gates, Tony Robbins, somebody like yourself, which is why this is perfect, and you could take all of their biggest lessons and aha moments from their successes and their failures, I think those lessons would be pretty valuable. So from your perspective, what has been one or two of the biggest aha moments or lessons in a time of failure or success on your journey so far?
Being an opportunist, okay? Don't assume anything and be a cyclical player. And if you take those and the biggest mistake that people make is that when things are really good, they think that they're never going to be bad again. And when things are really bad, they think they're never going to be really good again. So always know when things are good, the bad's coming. And when things are bad, always know the good is coming.
That's an interesting mindset. I love that, though, because it helps for so many of the beginning entrepreneurs out there that don't think like that. I think it's great advice. So let's talk about that. Three things, or more if you want, three things that you feel like the beginning entrepreneur in year one, two, and three that they haven't yet learned because they haven't been in the game as long as you? What are the things they need to know and be prepared for in the future?
Well, one of the things I do with all, and doing this television show really gives me the opportunity to mentor people besides buy product, sell, buy their product that gives them an opportunity to really get their company going, is you got to know your numbers. And a lot of people go into partners with somebody, whether it's their best friend or whoever, but if you know numbers well and you're a financial person, then you better get a partner who knows how to sell and market or knows how to operate whatever you're doing. But a lot of times people go into business together and they both have the same talent.
Because you hire people like you.
Yeah, but you really, for a business to get going, you've got to have, number one, a great product. You got to understand the financial side, okay? And then you've got to be able to operate that business, and then you need to have to sell and market that business. And if you don't do all four of those things in the beginning, you're not going to be successful.
Very true. I want to know, and I'm so curious from somebody like yourself, did you have great mentors growing up, or did you have to figure it out all on your own?
You know, I really, people have always asked me, who were your mentors? And I really did not have mentors in the beginning. Now, as you get older and smarter, do we all steal little ideas from everybody? Absolutely, and I don't care what business you're in, but you as you grow, you're definitely smarter. And I will tell you this: I have lots of young guys work for me, and I love the millennials, and I love the way they're creative. But there is nothing like history, okay? And it's no different as you go get somebody to come in and run my company today with 500 locations and 60,000. I don't care who you are. There's nothing like the history, because I know the history of all 500 of those locations.
Yeah.
Somebody else doesn't. So there's nothing like history, but if you don't change, you will get run over.
Yeah.
And I'd say, how did your company continue to grow and last as long as it has and been successful? Because I preach change, change, change.
I love that. So let's talk about failure then. What's been one of the big failures or seasons of adversity that you or your business has gone through where, and maybe you're a superhero and you haven't ever thought this, but I think I need to give up. I think it's not going to work. I either maybe not need to go get a job in your case, but maybe I need to shut this business down or this one of our assets or fire these people. Tell me about a season of adversity or a time where you failed.
You know, I've never had that major failure. You know, do you have locations that go bad, or should you have done this acquisition and you negotiated it too hard that you negotiated yourself out of it? I've never had that just huge failure. It's if you sit there and you see it coming, a lot of times you're able to prevent it. And, you know, a chain that I started, Joe's Crab Shack, where it grew to like 200 units, I could see that from the early 90s and is in the late 90s and early 2000 that we were going from a bait camp look for a restaurant to more lifestyle centers and more sophisticated restaurants. And I saw that and I said, you know what? It's getting harder to find a location because people don't want a Joe's Crab Shack and this type of a location. And so I sold it. And I sold it for a good price, and it was the right thing to do. And so a lot of times it's always looking into the future, not what you just have today, but always look into the future and try to see what's happening so you can make the right decision. And if you look into the future and make the right decisions, you'll never have that large failure. You'll just continue to have little ones along the way.
I love that. You're a perfect reflection of that. We'll be right back to talk more about Tim and Fertitta's business, which does $3.4 billion. Still looking forward to that. I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. You can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
I had spent my earlier career chasing money, only to come up emotionally empty, and I was watching my sister struggle profoundly with her weight and being just absolutely unhappy, clinically depressed. And I had watched this person go from a beautiful, vibrant young woman who had all this ambition to somebody who'd given up. I mean, literally just given up. And if you've ever seen somebody that's depressed and watch how they shrink inside themselves, it is terrifying and heartbreaking, and when it's somebody that you love and care about, you just want to know what you can do. From an evolutionary perspective, it makes sense for you and I to connect, and there's been amazing research done on the only reason that I don't actually feel your pain is because I get a null signal from my skin. I wanted there to be fulfillment in what I did. I wanted there to be a reason for why I was working so hard to build something. And watching her and knowing that we could build a company that gave her the thing that she needed, she was struggling so profoundly with her weight, pushed me to want to sell that company and to build something that was based entirely around helping her and doing something beautiful for her and making food that she could choose based on taste and love and have a good relationship with food. Yeah, and so that's what we did, and it was literally a 90-degree turn in my life, because there is nothing more profound in the human experience than to feel truly connected to another human being. And to me, there's just no reason that you can't have that in business. There's no reason that we can't admit the truth of the human condition, that we are a social animal that longs for connection. We want to do great things. We want to help the members of, you know, this grand tribe.
It's amazing but true. When it comes to one of America's biggest household expenditures, healthcare, a lot of people think they've got no choice. People are used to thinking we have to do it this way, but they don't. Yes, you have the freedom to choose an alternative with your healthcare. It's MediShare, and it costs way less than the alternatives. The typical family saves $500 a month, not a year, a month. And if you're single, this can save you a lot too. And let's face it, a big reason MediShare is 400,000 people strong, it just works. They've shared over $3 billion in medical bills, so they can help share your needs too. Joining MediShare for so many people is one of those things that makes you say, why didn't I do this before? So yes, the time has come for something better. Look into joining MediShare and see why so many people are opting out of the old way and into the new. Why not look into this?
This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Joining us right now is Tilman Fertitta. He's the chairman and CEO of Landry's, a company that does $3.4 billion. Break it down for us. Recap what your company does, or all your companies.
Well, I have one of the largest top 10 gaming companies in America, one of the largest restaurant companies in America, and do a lot of other things. One of the largest operators of aquariums in America, in the top 10 in all
the largest
of
everything in America.
You know, not the largest, but, you know, one of the largest in all of those aspects. And it's all in the entertainment. It's all taking care of the customer. And that's what I knew how to do. So when I started out, I stayed in that realm. You know, everybody said, well, how do you understand the gaming business? Well, the gaming business was the easy part. If you talk to people in gaming, it's how do you operate that hotel and operate all the F&B and all those restaurants inside those properties? Yeah. Gaming's easy. It's everything else that makes the business difficult.
You're all about the people. And that's one of the things that you attribute to your success, not only the people being the customers, but also the people in the team. You have over 60,000 people on your team of employees. How do you incentivize them? How do you find them and hire them and retain them? Especially the millennials nowadays, that's one of the biggest issues with most companies.
Well, they are harder to retain because you know, they love to come in and put Landry's on their resume and then go somewhere else.
And then jump.
They're always looking for the next deal. But what's amazing is I probably have 25 VPs that have averaged over 20 years with me.
Wow.
And so how are you able to do that? Number one, I would say we're the bull, okay? And when times are tough, they're never worried about something happening to us. It's always been, that's feasting time for Landry's. We're going to go out and we're going to eat the week.
Yeah, their king is leading the castle.
No, it really is. I mean, I hate to say it, but they're also part of that castle and they're part of that team. But they know that a recession, well, I'm not worried about me losing my job. I'm not worried about anything happening to Landry's. I know that we're going to be growing. And that's a culture, is knowing that you're the bull in the room. And I think that's why my retention of my senior people has been so good for so long. But you also got to remember, they all started out young. Yeah. They've all had the opportunity to make a lot of money.
Okay.
And we were a very young company at one point. No, we're not so young anymore.
60,000 people. What are some of the DNA or things that you're looking for when, I don't care if it's a C-level executive, a VP, or just somebody who's coming in to be a low-level employee on the totem pole to work their way up, what are the things you look for in your people?
You know, we're not a lifestyle company, okay? Landry's is a get-after-it company, if you're looking for a lifestyle company, that's not us. Okay, yeah. You can come to my office and you can be there at 7 o'clock on a Thursday or Friday night, and you'll still see a lot of people there. Okay, mm-hmm. So in a way, maybe it is a lifestyle because people love their job so much that that work there. They don't care if they're finished at 6 o'clock or 5 o'clock or 4 o'clock. I'm talking about the senior people.
Yeah.
You know, that they want to accomplish what they want to accomplish. So that's always fascinated me, is that how many people work late at my company, knowing that they don't have to. So that tells me there's something happening here, that people like being in this office. Mm. But it's all about the people. It's totally about the people, the culture, all the way down. And that's one of the things that I feel like I've been fortunate to do, is develop a culture in our company that goes down all the way to the restaurants. Because I don't get to go to everything anymore. So if I wasn't able to do that and there be a culture, we still wouldn't be successful today.
So those are things for the people. And on the note of people, you know, whether it's the profit or even on your show, I think you talk about this as well. Maybe you say it in different words, but the three things that you look for in a business are the people, the product, and the process. So we'll talk about each of those. We just talked about people. Some people think that some are more important than the other. Out of those three, is there one that's more important to you, people, product, or process?
I think you got to have all of them, okay? Mm-hmm. People, of course, you got to have the right people, and you got to have people that want to be leaders and people that want to be the best. Process, one of the reasons that we're successful is we know our numbers, and we know that the linen cost should be 3/10 or this cost should be 4/10. And if you're not running those costs, then you have a people problem. And I've never not acquired anybody that I wasn't able to go in and fix their numbers by 3 or 4% by just running your business better. And I think that's something that we do extremely well, is analyze everything. And you'd be shocked at the restaurant companies that don't have analysts. And we do weekly inventories. We always want to know where we are. You can't fix a problem a month later. You got to fix it next week.
I love that, because successful people, all the successful people I know, from billionaires to millionaires, the one thing that's in common with them is they all know their numbers. Chairman and CEO of Landry's, Tillman Fertitta, is in the house. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack, and we're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Systems is something that I want to touch on with you. We agreed on. A lot of people don't start with the end in mind and put the systems in place. One of my friends and mentors, Max Carey, built Outback Steakhouse from one restaurant to over 2,000. And he said, we started with the end in mind. We knew that 2,000 was one of our goals. And we put the systems in place from the first restaurant, from the hiring, the training, and everything to get there. What's your advice for the businesses that don't have the systems in place right now?
Put them in place before you grow.
Put them in place
before you grow. Because that's where so many people screw up. They don't have the systems in place. So many small companies, operations and growing gets ahead of their financial side. And they don't know where they are, and they don't even know if they're making money or not. So the one thing that I would tell anybody who's starting, especially to grow outside of one location, is know where you are financially and make sure that part of your business, that you're getting current numbers immediately before you start trying to expand. Mm. When I can tell you exactly when it happened, around 1988, 89, that, because I was a typical business, your numbers would come in months later because accounting just doesn't keep up with your business. But as soon as I started getting current numbers, where by the end of the month, I had numbers on the 10th of the month, okay, my business is when it started growing. Okay, because I could see where I was and fix the mistakes.
Okay, so the faster you can get the metrics and the numbers in place,
and
the faster
and
you can
make
tweaks and
all your analytical numbers to totally know your business. All businesses are basically the same. Yeah. This is a cost of sales. This is a labor cost. This is this cost. Know your numbers. If you know your numbers, you know where your issues are and you can fix them.
Well, numbers relate back to sales and marketing as well, as we touched on. So I'm curious for you, is there a specific type of marketing that's worked best for your businesses? Do you use direct mail? Do you use social media now as your businesses have grown over the decades? Does one work better than the other?
Your best marketing for us today is digital. It's just amazing how the world has changed.
So you've evolved into that then?
100%. Okay. 100%. But we probably... you know, over the years, you did TV, you did billboards, but digital is where it's at today. I mean, it's a known fact that because you can go after exactly who you want to go after with digital, and that's why it's so much better.
Yeah.
When you're driving down the street and somebody's looking at a billboard, or you're running a television ad, even though you can do different demographics for different audiences, for digital, you can just flat out go after
the exact person
who you know is going to pay attention to it. And that's what makes digital so smart today. And every year there's more millennials, and we're just able to zone in on them. So today that is 100% where it's at. You can take a big company today, and I can tell you billboards and television is a waste.
Wise words from a true business rock star. Thanks for coming on the show.
Absolutely. Glad to be here, Mark.
I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. You can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
You shouldn't have to choose a random lawyer who charges expensive hourly rates when you need legal help. But the legal system is so complicated, what other choice do you have when you need help with your business or want to protect your family? Start with LegalZoom. They make it easy. For more than a decade, they've provided a way for regular people like you and me to confidently navigate the legal system. LegalZoom's not a law firm, and that's how they provide such great value. They don't rely on charging you by the hour. Instead, you'll get transparent pricing and customer reviews so you know exactly what you're getting up front. If you need help with incorporation, LLCs, trademarks, last wills, living trusts, and more, LegalZoom's the smart choice. They've got the right people on hand to answer your questions. And if you need legal advice, their network of independent attorneys can provide the straightforward guidance you need in most states. Don't let legal hurdles become an excuse. Go to LegalZoom.com today to start building your own future the right way. To save even more, enter ROCKSTAR in the referral box at checkout. That's LegalZoom.com.
Welcome to the DocuSign Agreement Cloud. Every industry, every organization, every department, everywhere in the world relies on agreements. The DocuSign Agreement Cloud finally allows you to digitally connect, automate, accelerate, and simplify the way you prepare, sign, act, and manage agreements better. We call that being more agreeable. DocuSign Agreement Cloud.
I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Right now, our guests joining us are Brian D. Evans and Clinton Senko. You guys are founder and CEO of Influensive and co-founder and COO of Influensive. Give us a quick recap. What's your guys' company do?
Influensive is an online publication. It's different than most. We're not out there. We are providing how-to information for entrepreneurs, but it's inspiration too. So we're unconventional wisdom. We have a lot of influential writers and contributors from a lot of different platforms. And we're looking to inspire people, kind of like what you guys are doing. We're here to inspire people and give them some takeaways they can use and go create businesses and a better life.
Where do you guys see the vision for this headed? Because that's something that, you know, I'm always curious to know. When somebody has a business, in this case yours, is this an exit strategy where we're trying to build this thing up so once it's doing X amount of money, we know that we can get it valued at this and sell it? What's the vision?
I want to reach 80 million readers a month. And it was one of those moments.
So like, I think the daily, I'm trying to think of?
Elite Daily.
Elite Daily had 30 million visitors a month and got purchased for $50 million?
It was 50 and 80. It was between 50 to 80 where they sold for $50 million.
Gerard. Okay, so 50 to 80 million views a month to get acquired for $50 million. Do you guys know what their profitability model was? Like, were they doing $250,000 a month, $100,000 a month?
The numbers on that, I'm not sure their exact revenue on that. They probably would have been doing well over $10 CPM on that. So.
Yeah.
Quite a bit. Millions.
So that's the goal for you guys, is something similar to that?
I don't know. I mean, if a big enough number came along, it would be really hard to refuse a sale, I think, down the road.
Because then you get to go shift into all the other fun projects, right?
As an entrepreneur, it's like,
you're flooded with ideas.
And
opportunities.
Couldn't do the same thing for the rest of my life anyways if I tried, so.
Yeah.
I think if the number was big enough, it'd sell. But the goal now is to build up the readership. And
so, how are you guys trying to do that? Because I mean, many people nowadays are doing vlogs and trying to build their personal brand and their websites and trying to get the traffic and their podcasts. So there's so many people. I mean, the fastest growing industry, as we know, is the coaching space. Yeah. People trying to become an expert and everyone trying to sell. We're in this space. You guys have interviewed hundreds of people like that, and so it's like, there's a lot of people in this industry,
But what do you guys feel like is going to help you get to that level from where you're at now, which is crushing it, to like ultra crushing it, where you're going to get bought for $50 million or $100 million?
Well, I'll let Clinton answer this too, but here's my, I love competitive industries. I know there's a big pie out there and I can take a piece of it. And it's and that piece is a big piece.
Right.
So I love competitive industries.
Yeah.
We're very, it's been a 15-year overnight success. We've been doing social media for, I've been doing it for 15 years now. Yep. You know, I'm learning that I know those algorithms, how they work, those viral trends. I know how to tap into that stuff. We're very aggressive marketers. We're using a lot of aggressive tactics. I think a lot of our competition is in traditional tactics, where we have a difference in the knowledge of how that stuff intricately works.
Yeah.
But some of the stuff we're doing with contributors and writers, I think, is big as well.
Yeah. Ultimately, you know, we want to build, you know, Influensive, you know, into a platform that, you know, teaches, trains, and inspires the next generation of leaders. You know, and as it stands right now, we are definitely are focused, obviously, around entrepreneurship and businesses and giving, you know, people tips to, you know, start that side hustle. You know, start a new business, you know, how to build their personal brand. Because one of the things that I honestly love the most about what we do is, you know, giving an opportunity to a contributor to really build their personal brand. Because as you know, as we all know, we write for different platforms, we've been interviewed. You know, there's a lot of good things that can come from, you know, getting your name attached, you know, to a well-known brand. But definitely, you know, with Influensive, we definitely, you know, want to take it, you know, from content to videos and so on, to really, you know, try and touch as many different areas of content as we can. Because as you already mentioned, you know, there's everything from daily vlogs to, you know, live sessions to
YouTube channels, podcasts.
Exactly. There's so many different types of content that, you know, we definitely want to be that source that our audience and our users come to every day, you know, when they're feeling down in their venture. And, you know, it's as entrepreneurs, we all have our down days.
Yeah. You know, like he said, the daily, you know, diet. It's like you condition yourself with breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and healthy snacks.
Do that,
and you do the same thing.
On the website.
So when I think, you know, where am I going to get a short little snack of just like, hey, I got some downtime to kill between a meeting or between, you know, whatever,
what break. What do you consume?
Exactly. Yeah. I'm going to just sit down and I'm going to, in my lunch break, I'm going to go to Influensive.
Got five
I'm gonna,
minutes.
I'm gonna
you
find
check
some
it
quick
out.
Little
exactly.
information.
Right.
So you guys are trying to become like the staple that's just known as that's where I go for that.
Right. Yeah.
And it's an assortment of content too, an assortment of, you can consume something for 5 minutes or 2 hours. So it's, creating that, I think, is important, of having that balanced diet of content.
Founder and CEO of Influensive and co-founder and COO, we got Brian D. Evans and Clinton Senko are joining us right now. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. You two guys are absolute rock stars. Is there anything that you definitely want to touch on and talk about? Otherwise, I'm going to keep firing questions off.
Fire away.
Is there something? All right. So content. You guys have a massive content platform. And I feel like, you know, we've talked about so many things. A lot of it has to do with content, whether it's creating content, whether it's facilitating content and finding people who are going to provide the content for your platform. So when it comes to content, I feel like some people don't really have a clear idea of how to create the right content. And so do you guys have sort of a framework that in order for somebody to submit great content, it has to fit into a certain thing? Or when you guys create content, there's a specific checklist you follow?
And this will actually serve everything here, but imagine you're being interviewed on Business Rockstars and you have to explain it very quickly. So think about your content like that. If you have a piece of content that you're writing and you're kind of like, I don't know if this really makes sense, ask yourself, go to somebody else and say, hey, can I just pitch this to you? Don't read it, just explain the concept. And if you can explain the concept in like 30, 60 seconds, boom, you've got it.
Okay.
So that's one of the techniques that I use personally if I'm writing something.
Something that I learned, just a simple one, is short, contextual, relatable, actionable.
Absolutely.
So contextual, meaning it's you know, contextual, there's a context, like creating content for marketers, creating content for blogs, creating content for videos. So there's the context, and then, you know, relatable is it has to relate specifically to that individual. Mm-hmm. And then actionable is like, here's three things, seven things, which is why so many articles are like the seven tips, the 12 steps, you know, things like that.
Well, headline psychology too is also a big factor. So
you need to have a good headline.
You guys must know from the analytics on your site, like which articles take off.
And
if you just change the headline, how much it goes up or down.
Yeah, famous names, numbers, big dollar amounts, percentages.
The trends happening.
Yeah, trends happening. You can tap into trending content. Yeah. Intrigue factor too. You don't want to give it away in the headline. If I give it away, you're not going to read the article.
Mystery causes action is a great saying to remember.
Yes, yes.
So always try to put curiosity and elicit, oh, I'm curious. Yeah. What does that mean? And I'm trying to remember what some of the best websites are that have like the shortest little headlines. But if you ever look at like the ads on the side, people are paying money for those.
Of course.
So either A, it's their first time and they have no idea, and you can usually tell pretty quick.
Yeah.
Or B, they're professional marketers. And so the headlines that you see you're being targeted by are probably pretty good headlines to at least come up with an idea of.
Yeah.
Or go to your guys' website and look at the headlines of the articles, because you guys are professionals who make sure your headlines are what they should be.
Yeah, headlines are super important, to build on that with Brian. And just to even kind of take that another step forward, just kind of maybe even a tip, for, contributors that are out there, or, someone maybe that wants to aspire to be a contributor. One thing that I would really, suggest is get it in your head kind of early is that I need to provide value, to the readers.
It's not self-serving.
And I need to provide value, to the publication as a whole. Because I think when you have that in your mind, that, I want to provide value to them, whether that's interacting with them, whether that's writing a well-thought-out article that, gives them 5 steps that they can implement right now, you really need to think, I need to provide value, and it's going to come back to you tenfold. If you focus on value.
And that's like the perfect thing, because it not only relates to networking, doing business, creating content, being interviewed. Yeah. It's literally, if you start to focus on who you are as an individual, as a value adder, and you go out to acquire new knowledge and skill sets to improve your ability to add more value, your value adding ability is typically in direct proportion to your earning ability.
Absolutely.
And so keep going out, getting new knowledge and skill sets, sharpening your knowledge and skill sets so you can add more value and make more money and have a bigger impact in the world. So I love that you brought that up. What do you feel like is some good advice for the aspiring entrepreneur who's sitting there in a position where you guys once were, who says, I've got a 9-to-5 job. I think that you two are amazing. I want to go out and I want to follow my own passion and create my own business. Just short and sweet. You share one piece of advice and you share one piece of advice. What do we tell this aspiring entrepreneur? When's the right time to get started?
Go for it.
Okay, I'll say number one is be a content creator. So whether that's you decide to start writing, whether that means you start doing videos, whether that means you start going, to interview people, at live events, you just need to become a content creator. Quotes, pictures, whatever you're good at, find something that you have a passion for and just create content, because no one's going to find you. No one's going to know what you're all about unless you create content and put it out there. So just create content.
Simple, I love it.
And one of my favorite quotes, life doesn't happen to you, it happens for you. So if you look at a failure or something setback, or you were dealt this bad hand, I don't like that mindset. I like the mindset of these things are happening to strengthen me for next time. It's happening for me to show me the right path. So I think that big mindset shift in me when I heard that, and adopted that, was huge to me. It was all these little failures, it's all for a reason. It's not that I should be down on myself, because if you're down on yourself and you lose confidence, that's it. You need to stay confident and realize, okay, that failure, that's good. I'm happy because that didn't work. Now I can try other things that could work.
What a great reframe. Things aren't happening to me, they're happening for me. And just that little shift in frame. Love you guys. You guys are rock stars. Appreciate you guys for coming on the show. Where can people learn more about you?
Influensive.com.
Influensive.com. Easy as that.
You betcha.
Thanks for coming on the show, guys.
You bet. Thank you so much for having us.
I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. You can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
And now, a Business Rockstars Minute. Why would you do it yourself when you can call a pro? I'm Pat O'Brien, and this is a Business Rockstars Minute. How many times have you done this to yourself? You thought you could make it happen, and you realize later on, when it's too late, you made it even worse because you didn't call in a pro. We do this in business as well, legal work, bookkeeping, even website development. Instead of trying to fix things yourself and save a few dollars, call in a pro. All too often, entrepreneurs only look at the bottom line of what something costs. Stop doing this. Remember, a professional might be expensive, an amateur could cost you a fortune. Would you take your sick child to an amateur? No. Would you have your house built by an amateur? No. Don't settle for subpar. Always get a professional. It'll pay off in the long run. I'm Pat O'Brien, and this has been a Business Rockstars Minute.
It's amazing, but true. When it comes to one of America's biggest household expenditures, healthcare, a lot of people think they've got no choice. People are used to thinking we have to do it this way, but they don't. Yes, you have the freedom to choose an alternative with your healthcare. It's MediShare, and it costs way less than the alternatives. The typical family saves $500 a month, not a year, a month. And if you're single, this can save you a lot too. And let's face it, a big reason MediShare is 400,000 people strong, it just works. They've shared over $3 billion in medical bills, so they can help share your needs too. Joining MediShare for so many people is one of those things that makes you say, why didn't I do this before? So yes, the time has come for something better. Look into joining MediShare and see why so many people are opting out of the old way and into the new. Why not look into this? Just call 844-91-BIBLE. That's 844-91-BIBLE. 844-91-BIBLE.
Freedom doesn't start in the White House. It starts in your house. Here's Helen Grebel.
California politicians are turning restaurant employees into criminals if they give their customers plastic straws. Several cities have already banned straws, but the state of California wanted to go further, imposing fines and jail sentences. The first draft would have fined waiters $1,000 or 6 months in jail for giving customers straws without being asked. The final version that became...
We are here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Welcome to Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien, and welcome to CEO Roundtable. Maren Costello is with us from the Bead Kit, is where we started, right?
That's where we started, yes.
Yeah, and you're wearing some of your product there. And Zane Lamprey, my old friend, the founder of Adventure and Booze, right,
yeah.
Basically?
So Adventure, the Adventure line now, the Adventure hoodie, and also Monkey Rum. And then it kind of goes on from there.
Okay, well, let's talk about being in charge of a company or being founding a company. First of all, what's the corporate culture at your company?
It's not your stereotypical culture. It's very welcoming, compassionate. I mean, work is demanded and it is expected to be done, but there's also an element of compassion and understanding of living one's life.
All right. Yeah. Unlike Zane's. Zane's the same way, right?
It is the same way. I mean, look, you surround yourself, you get to a level where you get to hire the best people. And if you hire the best people, you can enjoy yourself. You know, if you have people that aren't working up to the task, then that makes a very bad work culture.
I've always wondered about that because you've invested your lives. They're not together, by the way.
Not anymore.
Sorry.
Different show.
into this lifelong journey, and so hiring people becomes a big deal, right? Because they're just a big piece of what your future is going to look like.
Correct.
So how do you hire the right people?
I think the longer that I go as a founder, the more I know about myself, the more I know about what I'm looking for in another person to hire onto the company. I think that if they're motivated and passionate, then anyone can really be taught anything. But if they have like a fire in them, that's something that's really key.
Seems to me that jewelry and liquor and apparel is maybe one of the hardest things to stand out in, right?
Sure,
because there's so much of it.
There's so much of it, exactly.
So how do you stand out?
Is that to me, Pat?
Apparently so.
I'll take this one if you don't mind. You make the best product that you can, and sometimes when you make the best product, it just costs a little more, and you have to trust that what you make can sustain itself at that price. If you start cutting corners, and people can move on to another brand. So you make something that's great, and then have great marketing to get the word out. And build a customer base that keeps coming back. I think that's the most important thing. You can't deal with people once. You need to deal with them. You need to deal with them once and then deal with them for a lifetime.
And new ideas have to come all the time. How do you motivate people at your company?
By honing in on what their strengths are and championing those. And it's different for every single person. So what motivates me and what gets me going is completely different from some of the people that I work with. So,
And how do you balance life and work?
I think the beautiful thing about being the founder is being able to curate who you work with. And so a lot of the people that I bring onto my team or people that I freelance, that I use as freelancers, they have become my family. and I'm able to choose who I get to work with. So that to me is balance and being able to enjoy.
That's worth the whole deal, right?
100%.
I wish I could do that.
There's a time in every entrepreneur's life where they make the transition from the 9-to-5 into being an entrepreneur. And I think one of the things that they think is, I want to dictate my own schedule. I want to start living my own life.
That's really blind faith.
And it's completely wrong. So if you work a 9-to-5, you work for someone else, most of the times when you're on your weekend. When you're an entrepreneur and you have your company doesn't take a rest. So Saturdays and Sunday, whether you're in the office or not, your brain is halfway there. Right. So you need to find people that can live, you know, when you're at a certain, you know, they have a term now, the startup, right? I mean, that's a very tech word. But you're a startup until you are, you know, in a much bigger corporate place. And you need that startup mentality. You need people that are excited about being there and that will work as hard as you. Right. I mean, I surround myself with people that are better at certain things than I am. I think that's the trick. I'm not the best at anything that they do. Right.
Maren, is that the skill set to survive, is hiring people that can teach you?
I think that if you can put yourself in the position as a student always, you will always be ahead. There's something to be learned from everyone, even people who don't have the same level of credentials as you on paper. Sometimes those are the people that you learn the most from.
We are here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars, the CEO Roundtable version. I'm Pat O'Brien. Is it hard to stay focused as a CEO? We were talking about a little bit earlier. I mean, you've got so much going on, you know, it's hard to just
focused on the immediate tasks or the long-term goal.
Focus is focus.
So my story is different in that I didn't wake up one day and go, I think I'm going to start a jewelry business. Right. I have this idea for a design, and I think I'm going to roll with it. It was the complete opposite. It was a hobby turned into a brand, and I didn't realize it was doing that as it was doing that. And so for me, it's not work.
Right.
It is my passion. It is my purpose. It doesn't require much focus for me to focus.
When did you realize you had something that was marketable?
I've been selling jewelry since I was 7 and making it since that age, just at local craft fairs. But when I was in college, my pieces were featured on American Idol. And then I started getting calls from big marketing firms and PR firms. And that was the moment where I thought, oh, you can do this as a living. You know, I grew up in Northern California. The fashion industry was pretty null back then. We didn't have social media the way that it is today. And so once I realized that this could be a potential profession, my brain shifted and I learned to transition thinking of making jewelry as a hobby to designing jewelry as a profession and as a brand.
What do you think is the number one thing that entrepreneurs out there should know? The biggest hurdle to cross. Forget the money and the raising money and all that. I know all that's hard, but.
What is the biggest hurdle?
Don't do it. It's a rough, lonely road.
Just like you say to yourself, this has got to be crazy. I can't do this. I mean, that'd be one. But, going into it, what was the biggest hurdle for you?
Going into it, I'm going to quote the amazing Marie Forleo and say, everything is figure outable. And when you think of any challenge that way, that it's not challenging. You're just searching for the answer. Mm-hmm. And there could be an infinite amount of answers to whatever you're trying to solve, but everything's figure outable.
When we're done here, I want you to use figure outable in a sentence.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to figure outable how to do that.
Thank you both for joining
Thank
us,
you.
Okay?
Thanks.
That's been CEO Roundtable. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. See you next time.